My name is Henley, and I'm an account executive at VaynerMedia and the producer of the Made in Chattanooga podcast. Today, we've got Marco and Ramona from Vibrant Meals here to share their secret sauce on creating and scaling a business in Chattanooga. And next, we've got Courtney Holder, a local singer-songwriter who will share her story on how she got started and why Chattanooga's music scene is so, well, vibrant. So thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 12 of the Made in Chattanooga podcast. This is Danny as a first-time host.
This is Brian, also as a first-time host.
And we are joined by Romana and Marco from Vibrant Meals here in Chattanooga.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining.
Welcome. How's everything going today so far?
Great. Awesome. Ate all the meals we're supposed to eat and made it here on time.
Awesome.
1 minute early, actually, so that was a success.
Nice.
We're doing good.
Could you tell us a little bit about how you two ended up in Chattanooga and what Vibrant Meals is?
Yeah, so that's actually a funny, complicated story, but I grew up in Rome, Italy, and met Romana's grandma and her aunt that eventually led to my father meeting her father in Orange County, California. This goes back about 12, 13 years.
I'm getting the feeling you've had to explain this story quite a few times.
It's very complex. So when I moved to San Diego to study in 2010, that's when I met her father for the first time and never actually met her or her sisters or her brother. Yeah, or anything.
He hung out with my nonna in Italy. He's been to my parents' house in Mexico. I never met him.
Which her grandma's house in Capri.
He knew my entire family before I even met him.
So that was kind of one little chapter. We kind of pushed that to the side. And then my family moved from Rome to Chattanooga, and that's a whole separate story. But that led to me coming out here before taking a full-time job with Tesla in Dubai. So my plan was to come here for 6 months. The 6 months became 3.5 years and dragging my now wife out here to Chattanooga, who at the time, she was a professional chef for UFC fighters and different celebrities. Mm-hmm. And we met about a year after I had moved to Chattanooga.
Oh, wow.
I noticed that in Chattanooga, there was a very strong and quickly growing fitness scene and health scene. You know, and it was a city that before was the most unhealthy, most obese, dirtiest city. And a lot of that had changed, and I'd seen some of that change. I know a lot of it took place way before I came out here. And so seeing what she was doing, I thought it would be intriguing to see something like that out here in Chattanooga and try to scale that without ever thinking I would actually become a part of that. So I'll kind of let her explain her side of the story.
Yeah. I actually never heard of Chattanooga before until I met him. So when he told me he was from Chattanooga, I was like, Chatta what? Where the heck is that? And he's like, it's in Tennessee. I was like, oh, that's cool. And we started talking for a couple months and he's like, you should come move out here. Or I'm going to go to California. I was like, I'm ready to get out of California. I was just ready for a different perspective of life. And I really wanted to learn how to be in a different city and just grow and evolve as a woman in my 20s. So I moved out to Chattanooga 4 months later after we met.
Very convincing.
And then 4 months after that, we got engaged. And then about 3-4 months after that, we got married.
I know. Yep. And when we got engaged, we decided, anyways, I think I'm jumping the questions, but to get married. So...
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. So where did Vibrant Meals kind of come about within that timeline?
It came about on a couch. I was dog sitting for a friend in the tech scene, which I was a part of before I jumped into Vibrant Meals. So originally, I mean, she came out here and, you know, I'll let her kind of explain to what she was doing when she first moved out here. And then, you know, as I saw her growth, I was like, man, this can really scale and grow into something big if we create systems and operations and work. It's so different from a typical kitchen because we're more on the manufacturing side of food. One day on a couch, I'll let you talk about the beginning stages and then we'll take it to the couch point where we came up with
I like that. So am I going next?
Yeah.
Okay.
You.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, your turn.
So when I moved out here, I had a 750 square foot apartment in Coolidge. So that's where I was living, And I had one client that I was working with. We talked to some of his family friends. And so I picked up one client. And then from there, word of mouth went out and I started cooking. And so when I moved to Chattanooga in July, I started cooking for one person in July. And then it started building.
This was what, 16, 2016?
Yeah, 2016. Yeah, 2016. And then from there, the word of mouth was going and people were finding out about this. But the name of Vibrant Meals started in July. And it was on the couch at a friend's house in Highland Park. It's so funny. Every time I go by Highland Park, I'm like, that's where Vibrant Meals was created.
The brand, at least. Or the
yeah,
name.
Just the name. And so we were sitting there. And if you want to go ahead with that.
Sure. So I'll pick it up from there. So she was working with a couple of different families and still operating more as a personal chef,
yes.
You know, creating custom meals for people. And they were seeing a lot of success in, you know, whether they were looking for weight loss or muscle growth or maintenance. And so I built her original first website or platform. And so I'd see all the analytics and, you know, every month I'd see kind of this little growth, but everything was form based. You know, people would come to the website, fill out a little form, and then that's what she would take and then cook in her kitchen. And I'd come over to her apartment and like every time I came over, her personal fridge had no food for herself. It was just all these little food containers with food for her customers. And she'd whip out these like plastic tables, like the one we have in front of us here.
Yeah.
And she'd put all these little containers out, portion all the food out. And she outgrew her apartment refrigerator, and I was like, all right, we need to get you another one. So we went to Home Depot, bought her a little, like, college, you know, throwback little beer,
mini
beer
fridge. Cooler.
And she filled that pretty quick. And, you know, right around that time is when we came up with the whole Vibrant Meals concept, because we really, from the beginning, kind of saw this as something bigger, but never really knew what that would look like or how long that would take to get to a point where we, you know, would create something on a larger scale on the manufacturing side. And then honestly, I mean, things just worked out. There's this balance of luck and hard work where, you know, this shared kitchen opened up right around the time she outgrew her apartment. And so we created the brand Vibrant, created the logos. And so many people thought what she had was
so much bigger.
So much bigger than what it was. They're like, man, this is a big franchise. What is this?
I know.
And they would come by and say, oh, you have this little shared kitchen, though. So it's not that big of an operation yet. But from the beginning, our goal was to create a product that was an experience. So what we do is not just a convenience or health factor. We also provide an experience for the customer that opens the bag. You know, it's branded. They open the container. They have this nice colorful label that represents different meal plans. All the macros are on there. You open it, you heat it. And so we kind of had that from the beginning. And that is what I think really helped us grow kind of quickly from that moment on the couch, from her apartment to that shared kitchen to where we are now today, which is really exciting. Kind of crazy to look back on, but.
Yeah. But tell them about the name.
The name?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm house sitting
person. That's where we're supposed to go.
I know,
to.
But.
He just got so excited.
Yeah, I just got so excited. So yeah, we're just at my friend's house and, you know, we're house sitting and we're on the couch and we're bouncing ideas. This has been going on for a couple weeks.
Crazy names.
We had all sorts of different names and nothing was really sticking.
Yeah.
And then I stopped and looked at her. I'm like, so she's straight out of Orange County. That's bougie capital, yoga pants capital, Lululemon, all that whole scene. And she comes over to Chattanooga using these words like vibrant and
vibe, good vibes.
Good vibes and funny words I haven't heard in a while. And so I turned to her, I'm like, well, why don't we use good vibes and turn that into something? I was like, what about vibrant meals?
Yeah.
You know, they make people feel vibrant. Yeah. So we wanted to use a play on words that, you know, our food really is meant
it's
for
relatable.
You to feel good. Yeah, it's relatable. It's meant for you to feel good from the inside, you know, spiritually, health-wise, physically, you know, the whole package. Yeah.
As a consumer of Vibrant Meals, that's one of the things that I kind of loved immediately was that it felt like food that I would have grown up eating. It was very accessible, but it has, I mean, one of the things that I think is so amazing is that you guys strive to kind of source everything from local farms and really look for really high quality ingredients. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that, as you talk about manufacturing the food, kind of creating this ecosystem, must have been I mean, a bit of a challenge.
Oh, yes.
How did you even start kind of figuring that out?
The thing is, people think when you start a business, like you have everything in a line just perfectly right. Like, oh, I'm going to do this next and this next and this next. And everything is just going to go right. And I'm going to have this plan. There's no plan. No plan at all. It's
just
very,
a little bit.
Yeah, there's a plan, but there's a plan as you go. Like what in the next 24 hours, what do we need to do? The next 24 hours, what do we need to do? And I feel like that was the process of Vibrant, is that we are constantly bouncing back ideas. We're just passionate and creative, and we have a love for food and design. So from doing that and then figuring out, okay, our refrigerator is small. We need a bigger one. So right away, we need to look for a refrigerator. So we're always just on top of it and making sure, okay, what is the next step and how efficient can we be for our customers? So I feel like with Vibrant, that's how we our work is right now, and how we can just grow and evolve and get better. And feedback. Sorry, I hope I'm talking this thing. Feedback is huge, and we take all the feedback and we will put that back into our product. If someone doesn't like anything, they give us some feedback that it's still positive feedback, but we'll work with that and figure out how we can do it better. We're not closed-minded. We're very open-minded to making the product better. So I think that's where it just makes Vibrant a different experience.
I think going back to your base question there, a funny story on that note, because it's kind of daunting when you look at all the ducks you have to line up to get to where we're at now. And when you talk about sourcing ingredients, sourcing containers, sourcing labels, sourcing machinery, sourcing, there's so many different things you need to look at. Even you know, how to search for what a particular thing might be called. So kind of going back to Genesis there with the company, she met one of our meat providers in the elevator. Turns out he lived in the same apartment complex. So there's a lot of little things like that that are so unique to Chattanooga because it's such a small city that we've bumped into a lot of our suppliers. We've bumped into a lot of, you know, there's this guy that's in our Bible study that's a friend that sold us a cow from his farm. So things like that, they kind of just showed up on the scene and, you know, we executed and kind of jumped on that. And, you know, we still work then with some of those people and, you know, relationships have grown from there.
Awesome. I feel like Chattanooga, it seems like, has been kind of like the perfect little cradle for the creation of Vibrant Meals. And we talked a little bit before we started recording about how we've only been here collectively a couple years, but we've seen the city grow so much. How do you see Vibrant Meals growing as the city of Chattanooga evolves?
So many pieces right now.
I keep on thinking we've reached a plateau or a cap, and then something else kind of pops onto the scene. So we're working on some really exciting partnerships that we'll be launching over the next couple of weeks that we're both passionate and excited about. And so those keep on providing, they keep on giving us carrots to run after before jumping to a Nashville or Atlanta or, you know, one of the bigger metropolitan cities in the area. So it just kind of reminds me that there's still so much more to be tapped into in Chattanooga. And then I come to find out there's also several different franchise headquarters here, which, you know, are opening some interesting conversations. And so there's a lot here. There's such a strong community based around trying to help each other and help others. People really like, genuinely like to see other people do well here. That's not something you see out west.
No.
You know, it's very cutthroat. It's very competitive in the negative sense of competition. Competition's great. So being able to keep that mindset of not becoming complacent and just rolling with the tide and still trying to charge after things, but having a community behind you that really supports you, and that's what Chattanooga has really provided. And so, I mean, I really see this, even if we grow back to West Coast California with this product, I still see Chattanooga as being kind of a hub or a base that, you know, we can funnel employees through, we can funnel, you know, we can have our headquarters here, hopefully, you know, as we continue to grow. And like she was saying, the 24-hour planning, we don't know what the next year will look like. I mean, next week we hardly have planned out yet. It's just, but yeah, it's been a unique city, as I'm sure you've seen coming from New York too.
When did you even get to the point of where you're thinking like, oh, maybe we'll go to other cities, maybe we'll go back to California? Like, it sounds like you are very much like next day, next week. But like, when did you guys start to think, man, this actually could take off?
That's a great question.
We think about it every day. I feel like we're always thinking about, okay, we're going to be in that city one day. and we are already preparing for it. But I think it's just putting all the pieces together where it's we find that carrot, like you was saying, that comes dangling, like, oh, we have to take the opportunity. It's time. So that's what it's looking like for the bigger cities. But
I think when I noticed, so I was working with a different startup that I was kind of, my role over there was COO. And, you know, I'd find that a lot of times it was hard to sell what we had. And what we had was still a very cool product. I mean, we were sold out on it. But when I saw what we had at Vibrant, and that I didn't need to really pitch it to anybody, that people were willingly telling their friends. They didn't need an incentive. They would go out and actively tell their people about it. I'm like, man, we have something interesting here that even our friends from California are like, hey, this would do really well there, even though it's such a saturated market with companies similar to ours. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started thinking, man, this probably would do very well in other cities. But we also need to be careful not to compromise what we're doing in terms of quality by growing too quickly. Mm-hmm. And that can be the allure or the temptation sometimes is, oh, let's run after this thing. You know, we've had people ask us about opening up, you know, Vibrants in different cities already. And it's just, we're not ready for that yet, but that's always been in our minds from, I think, even day one, yeah. You know, is seeing the opportunity to expand and grow. And Chattanooga is very strategic in that because of where it's located with the big cities that are around it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's been something that we've had in our minds for some time. So pretty much from the beginning.
Yeah, that's definitely like a good thing to like keep yourself like reined in on, because it's super easy to like get like super excited, like, oh, we're gonna go, you know, do all this stuff and chase 10 more carrots, not one.
Yeah,
exactly.
Focus has been huge for us. I mean, just to be able to focus in and hone in on something versus getting that's one of my downfalls, is getting so distracted by a big picture, big vision, and then not executing on maybe the small things that lead up to that big picture, big vision. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it sounds like you're getting a lot of that real-time feedback from your customers to kind of maybe help keep you on track of what kind of matters at the end of the day, which is each individual meal. How are you getting that feedback from your community?
It's been really good. I feel like people want more different diets that I'm kind of like straying away from, but yeah. the customer wants what the customer wants, but still keeping that mission and vision of Vibrant. But the feedback is usually when they come in the storefront and their experience in the storefront online. So our online audience is pretty big right now, would you say, Marco? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get a lot of phone calls of people that call in. Uh-huh. We've found a lot of really good feedback from people that specifically struggle with some of the dietary restrictions we've eliminated from our meals. So people with celiac or ALS or different autoimmune issues. And they're just, it's really humbling because they'll call in and just be like, thank you. Like, thank you for doing this here. Because we've struggled with that. Like, oh, should we just get normal pasta, or should we add cheese or add this? And sometimes, I mean, that's how we don't have to be gluten-free personally ourselves, but it's something that has benefited just that extra little step to these people that struggle with those things. So that feedback has been really good and kind of encouraging on that front, but it comes from all different areas. Like, we had a lady that's been with us for a while. Now that we have a storefront, all of a sudden we became legit.
I know.
And so people will walk in now and be like, oh, this is Vibrant. And they actually get to meet us for the first time. And so they've been giving us referrals, you know, talking to their doctors and like, oh, you got to call so-and-so and, you know, talk to them because he wants all of his clients on your guys' meals. And so that's been kind of fun and exciting too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Do you still get to play in the kitchen at all? I got the email this week that you released two, I think, keto meals.
Yes. I think that's the exciting part of building a team. And I'm really passionate about building a company, and it's not I, it's we. So they're building your dream. So how are you going to treat your employees, and how are you going to create this fun, exciting team where they still can be involved? So what I do is I'll meet with them and be like, what do you think about this? What do you guys want to do? What type of recipes do you want to add to the menu? I want to name this recipe after one of my chefs, or just make it more exciting. I still go in there and get creative with them, and I do all the macros for the meals and the nutrition facts. So it's still so much fun and exciting.
Yeah, we try to incorporate them as much as possible in the creative process. As they're also, we've hired people that are passionate about making good food and healthy food. And so, you know, our baker gets really exciting, Helena, about different recipes for her baked goods and her wraps that she's doing. And then Joe gets excited about, you know, different sauces that he's coming up and creating. And, you know, we try to shed a lot of light towards them too and what they're doing. But she still puts the touch of love on meals. Yeah.
I still balance it. I think just making sure the meal is portion controlled, balanced, right fats, sodium, carbs, and all of that. So if they bring a recipe to me, I'll be like, okay, let's take that out and add this. That'll be a little bit healthier.
Awesome. We have one final question that we ask pretty much anyone who comes on this podcast, I believe. We would have to check the historical data, but also every visitor of our office. And this, your answers will be laminated, meaning that you can't ever change them. They're your answers for life.
And we actually will laminate them.
Yes, they will. Yes.
Where do you even laminate
these?
The answers to this question, which is, if you only had 5 condiments for the rest of your life and they were dispensed 1 from each finger, what would those condiments be?
So like cleanliness? Kind of, no.
Condiments?
Oh, well, I was thinking like toothpaste ketchup. Or something.
That's disgusting.
No. Like things you would put on food.
You're talking about food. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I promise we are in the food business. We don't put toothpaste in any of our meals. Disclaimer. I personally really like Chipotle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if these technically count as condiments.
It's okay.
I'm talking more sauces, I guess.
Yeah.
Pesto. I am a big fan of tomatoes, so like cherry tomatoes, if that can be a condiment.
Anything can be a condiment.
I can? Great. Then I'd have to go
with
almond
paste.
What
about like pizza?
Pizza?
Yeah.
If you
you still do that? No.
Yeah, of course you can.
Maybe like pizza bites.
If you put pizza on things, yeah, sure.
I love pizza.
Oh man, Nikki's not going to like this.
Okay, so tomato sauce, so I would have to live with this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be able to put anything else on your this is it.
Oh, okay. Cheese, even though we're a dairy-free company, I'd rather just die with cheese. Cheese, basil, tomato sauce, and 2 more would be.
You put chili flakes on everything.
I love chili flakes. Yeah, chili flakes definitely. And you can't do cherry tomatoes?
Yeah, you can.
So that's like a pizza right there.
There you go. Margo, I believe you only said 3.
Yeah.
So if you want,
all right, what do we
if
have?
You
pesto, let's do...
Oh, you did. You added almond paste, I think.
Paste, kind of a minced garlic. Let's do chipotle. And then the last one, let's go with a frosting. I love sugar.
Ooh, all right.
Just like a plain vanilla...
No, you know what? Kind of like that sweet condensed milk type frosting.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of decadent. I don't know. Yeah, that'd be good.
All right.
Good with that.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining. I believe later on this podcast, you will hear Courtney Holder play some wonderful music and hear all about her career. So thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anna Glass, and I am an account supervisor with VaynerMedia. And with me today is singer-songwriter Courtney Holder. Courtney, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm super glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, Courtney, let's just start off. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you from Chattanooga?
Yes. I've lived here for 11 or 12 years now, so it's home.
Awesome. Awesome. Where did you come from before then?
Well, my family is from the Jasper, Marion County area, and then we lived in Tampa, Florida for a few years, and then we finally just settled down here because it's close to home, but Chattanooga is just awesome.
That's awesome. And so when did you start being interested in music, started playing music?
So I've been singing since I was 6. I've always sang. I asked my mom if we could call our pastor when I was 6 that I really wanted to like sing at church the next morning, and I had never really sang before or anything, and they weren't you know sure how it would go, you know, but I was a little kid so it would have been fine, but it was great. And then I never stopped singing. Then I started writing music and adding in guitar as an avenue to be able to play in front of people and not rely on other, you know, musicians and stuff, and then the band.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your solo work.
So I started when I was 15 playing some open mics, and a musician named Jesse Black got me kind of integrated into the community. We played a lot of shows together. And one of my first open mics was Tremont Tavern Tuesdays, which are still going, and it's really fun. And I think my first show, so I was working at TJ Maxx at the time, and I told my parents, I just want to do music full time, you know. And they said, okay, well, you're going to have to, you have like 2 weeks to get some shows booked, or, you know, like get another job, which wasn't them being mean. They're just like
pretty practical,
wanted to make sure I was going to do it. And so I didn't know anything. I remember Googling music venues in Chattanooga and just calling places like, will you let me play? And now to, you know, getting asked to play all the time. And it's I've come a long way.
What's your favorite part of performing live?
It depends on the show, but at the right show, I guess my favorite part would be seeing someone's reaction or them talking to me afterwards and saying that they either related to a song, or even if they didn't relate to my music at all, that they had a great night, you know, with maybe their husband, like they just had a really great date night and I provided music for that, or, you know, something like that. That's, I love awesome. It.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit more too about, you perform solo, record solo, but you also are a part of Hive Theory. Can you tell us about when that started and the direction there?
Yes. So 2 years ago, I was in cosmetology school at the time, and one of my friends and I were talking, and I said I really wanted to find a lead guitar player, and she introduced me to Ryan Hitt, who has been with me ever since. So we've been playing together for 2 years, solo duo gigs. And then we finally decided to make a band out of it. And he knew Zach Turner, and Zach knew Jeff McSpadden. And then all of us knew Matt Grimes. And so now we're a five-piece 2 years down the road. And last year we competed in Road to Nightfall competition. And that was one of our first shows as a four-piece. And then 1 year later as a five-piece, we competed and won the competition. So tonight we're headlining, so it's a really exciting time for us.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your music style, both as a solo artist and as a part of Hive Theory, and where your inspiration comes from?
So my inspiration comes from a lot of different places. I've always loved soul music.
Yeah.
And I've always been a sucker for pop, but like obscure pop, you know, and rock, just anything. I love music as long as there's passion behind it. So a lot of my originals vary in genres that I play solo, and that's just because I can draw from different places. But I've kind of molded with the band the Hive Theory originals to pop funk is what we call it. So they're very 3 minutes and 30 seconds pop, but they're really funky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about the songwriting process? You've had the chance to write with some pretty great people, and then being in the band now, can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Yeah, so I have been writing songs since I was 13 or 14, and, you know, we won't play those or anything, but it's all about growing, you know, and so my songs started getting better and better, and that's where I started performing solo. And that process has always been no lyrics or music first. It's just always something happens and I sit down and I just kind of write it out all at once. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. But then with the band, with our first EP, Root Beer Float, those are songs that I brought into the band as my songs. And they created their own parts, and we kind of molded it to sound like a full band song. And so that's what Root Beer Float, our first EP, is. And then now we developed a new writing process where sometimes I still bring in my own songs, but when we have time and like try to write together, basically we'll just sit there and stare at each other until somebody has an idea. And it'll either be like, I want to write a song about this, or Ryan will start playing a little guitar lick, or Jeff, you know, just playing around on the bass. And so it takes a lot longer to write with a band for sure, because it's, you know, four other brains beside yours trying to be immensely creative, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I like doing both.
It's awesome. Can you tell us a little bit more about Road to Nightfall and congratulations on being a part of that?
Thank you. Yeah, so that's, you know, Jonathan Sussman and Barrett Taylor with Gig City Productions, and they pair up with Carla Pritchard and Nightfall, Miller Plaza. And so I think it's been going on for 10 years. I'm not sure how long the competition's really been going on. I know for quite a while, but we've had winners like Ryan Oyer and Nicolette Sko and just different bands that are mind-blowing. Oh, Strung Like a Horse won 1 year. And so basically you have, I think it's 5 nights over a span of 2 weeks. And I think 5 bands each night basically play 3 or 4 songs. And each night one of those bands wins, and then there's finals. And so all those bands go to finals and play, I think it's 45 minutes apiece. I should remember. it's either 30 or 45 minutes. And then they pick a winner based on judges, which was really nerve-wracking.
Yeah. And you're playing Nightfall tonight. Is that a part of that Road to Nightfall?
So what you win when you win Road to Nightfall, which is the 100% incentive to do it. Well, first incentive is, you know, we're going to get to play with bands we love and make new fans that may not be at our shows in the first place, because there's different bands, fans, and everything. And but then the big incentive is that you win 25 hours of free recording time at the Soundry, a music video. You get to headline Nightfall. So local bands only ever get to open at Nightfall. So headlining is just such a big deal. You'll only get to do it once.
Yeah.
You get to do that. And, you know, next year my band will be on the panel to talk to next year's participants. And it's just something that is really great. It doesn't cost very much to sign up to do. Just, you know, it's pennies compared to the prize and how far that prize can put you forward. Like, it's hard to save up enough money to record an album. Yeah. And our first EP was pretty expensive, and it was just a 5-song EP. And, you know, it's just because recording is expensive, and then you have the graphic work and all that stuff. And so to be that step forward and not have to pay to be that, to have new material and just new stuff for your fans to see, that's hands down well worth the sign up fee. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, and it kind of segues us nicely into our next question, which is, can you tell us a little bit about what it means to be a musician in Chattanooga and your part of the music community here and what that's meant to you?
Wow, that's a lot.
Take that question by question.
Okay. It's hard to answer because it means a whole lot to me, and I'm not just saying I like to play music and I like some of the music that people play. I have met the most incredible people playing music in this city, and it's really hard to explain. I've tried to figure out if music scenes are like this in other cities, and I've visited them and I've talked to other people, and there's not a music scene that is as close-knit as this one is. And we really don't have anybody that doesn't wish 100% for each other's success. Yeah. And I mean, we have geniuses here like Dan Pinson and Clay Missell and Ryan Oyer. Those are genius writers. I think that they could be in the top 1%, you know, just the Beatles. Like, they're just awesome. And it's just really hard work and opportunity, you know, just waiting for the right person to hear one of us, you know. But I think if the right person hears one of us, we'll take each other up together.
Yeah.
It's a family.
That's incredible. And so, yeah, so you grew up here, getting the opportunity to play here. Mm-hmm. What else about Chattanooga, like, keeps you grounded here? Because you have the opportunity to move and produce and create somewhere else, but what about Chattanooga is special?
It's growing, and it never ceases to change. And I know that's true of, like, most even bigger cities, but for a pretty small city, it's always growing, evolving. Just when I think there can't be something new added in, there's a new venue with new attitude and flair that it adds to that street. And like different sections of Chattanooga have their different, I say attitude in a good way, like own little funky style. And it's just because it's such a small city, you get that small town school feel where we are all friends pretty much for the most part. And the people here that don't even play music love music. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's all about music necessarily. I think they love music because the people that live in Chattanooga are open-minded and progressive people. And that's why their minds are open to different types of music. And if they don't enjoy the music, they enjoy the people that create it and respect and appreciate that. It's mind-blowing. I tell people from other countries and other states and stuff, and I'm like, you should come to Chattanooga, like, hands down, love it.
Well, hopefully this next question doesn't get you in trouble, but what are some favorite places to play here?
Well, my favorite place is that I have played is The Signal, just because, like, I didn't think I was going to get to play at The Signal that early after it opened, you know. I didn't know that's where Road to Nightfall Finals were going to be, and so that was a big enough deal to me that in Road to Nightfall Finals that we got to play there. And I thought, cool, like, that may be, you know, for a while until we get a lot further along that I get to play The Signal. So hopefully it's still here whenever we get the chance to. But then Strung Like a Horse booked a show there to headline. And we're lucky enough that we got asked to open for that.
Amazing.
So what the heck? Like, we get to play The Signal twice in 1 year, possibly three times. We're working on another show right now. It's kind of an all-girls, all-female thing. So I don't know. The Signal's awesome. It's just a it's bigger shoes than we wear at the moment.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to get to play there. Songbirds.
Yeah.
I really believe in what the Songbirds Foundation is doing. And I run my open mic there. And because it's just a really quality venue, and people love going there. People love the energy that's there. And people love Mike Dewar and Johnny Smith. And Mike Dewar and I are getting closer. And we're always talking about where we want the music scene to go. And so I will always, even if I don't live in Chattanooga, I will always be an advocate for this music scene and do anything that I can for it. And that's where he stands. He's going to do anything that he can to make it as good as it can be.
That's awesome. Well, Courtney, we have another question that we ask all of our guests, and it's kind of an interesting one. This is the opening question also for our VaynerMedia employees when they join. So if you could only have 5 condiments for the rest of your life that you could eat, and you can define condiment the way you want, and they have to each come out of one of your fingers, what would those condiments be?
I would have to shoot them out of my fingers?
Shoot them out of your fingers. So, like,
you know, if I could shoot mustard out of all 5 fingers, all 5, that'd be
awesome. You're going to go all in on mustard.
No, like, I'll probably, I mean, I like all kinds of food, but you just have to keep it basic on the condiments. Mayonnaise, mustard, we'll go ahead and throw horseradish in there.
Ooh.
Ketchup. And hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
You can't.
All right.
You can't live without those 5.
I love it. That's awesome. well, Courtney, tell us where we can find your music. How can we follow you and Hive Theory? And
okay, Hive Theory is on Spotify. And when both new albums are released this fall, the Courtney Holder album and the Hive Theory album will be on Spotify, iTunes, and YouTube. Our YouTube is a little weak right now, I'm going to be honest. We're working on building that up, and it's really helpful to have the music video that we're going to be able to put up there.
Yeah.
And just more and more live videos. But really, where we are most active right now is Facebook. You can like Hive Theory on Facebook, and then you can like Courtney Holder page on Facebook. And those are getting more and more interactive, and we love talking to people, and I don't know, we just like people.
Incredible. Well, and Courtney is going to be playing a couple of songs for us today. Can you tell us about those songs?
Yes. So the two that I picked are actually, I try to pick really diverse ones. These are both on the sad side, but the first one, what's interesting about it, it's called Heart of a Skeptic. And I was dating somebody at the time that I started this song, and I've never really written a song for somebody. I've written songs about people, and so at the time, we were so in love and everything, and I wanted to write a song for him, and then we ended up obviously not panning out. And I thought, this song is just too good to not be finished. And it's not my most rockin' song, or I don't even know if it's my most marketable song. I love it because of the lyrics, and I've always been a fan of Ryan Adams and Jason Isbell and different writers that are, even if it's not the most ear-popping song, it just cuts like into everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that one, and kind of in the same theme, the second one is about a lot of my songs are collective ideas. Like, I can't say that they're about one thing, mm-hmm. but the second song is inspired by really late nights in Chattanooga. Musicians like to after party, after party, after party, and sometimes until the sun comes up. And so there's some nights where I've had the best nights. I've played an amazing show and then got to hang out with my favorite people on the planet, and then still left feeling unaccomplished or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And so basically I've spent a lot of time working on myself in the past 2 years. I'd say really 1 year. But that's just about me realizing, like, anything that happens to my music career or my life, wherever it goes, it's my fault, or it's like my doing.
Mm.
So if I am not where I want to be, I can totally change that.
Yeah.
And so I was moping around for a few months, and then I went to Bonnaroo 2 weeks ago or a week ago, and I just kind of, I don't know why I was thinking about it there, just because all the huge acts and everything.
Sure, yeah.
And I thought, this is where I need to be in like a year or two. And that sounds crazy, but I don't think it's impossible. And so I got home and moped around for like a week, and then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I could be right now using my time to get closer to that.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what that song's about.
Amazing and super inspiring. And Courtney, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Go check her out on Spotify, find her on Facebook, and join us next time on Made in Chattanooga.
Thank you.
A skeptic, you ripped it out and you kept it. Feel, no, I'm starting to feel deceptive love or steal. Your mind and try to wreck it. By the light of love, for you I ran to the end zone.
day I was nothing but hurt. You broke the heart of us. You ripped it out in you. You broke the heart of a skeptic. You ripped it out and you kept it. As I took another left turn in the race, I meditate, don't lose my mind, thinking all the stars, I'm still alive. And the sun feels good on my skin, I'm surprised I woke up again. I'm looking myself in the eyes, wondering will I ever have the guts to try. I'm breaking, I'm freezing, just hold me. Leave me cold. Now turn down a one-way street. Don't know where you're going, but you got quick feet. Don't let your demons die. Keep them in the dark, barely alive. Sing a lullaby like neon light. Cut to your soul in the middle of the night. Little one, try not to cry. Maybe you'll learn this time. In my heartbeat, so empty. Don't save me, just leave me cold. In my heartbeat, so empty. Don't save me.